Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown up.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hour two of our program. Joey Harrington coming up next hour. Got some football items to get to here. Although I want to tell you, Scotty made bogey on 18.
Yes.
Pretty good bogey.
Yeah.
From where he was.
Take it from there.
He put it way into the trees left on 18 and... He just...
He finished with a 1-under-71, 5-under for the tournament, 3-back.
He just eventually just punched it out of there.
Yeah.
Nice. He was going to do it. He stood and did it. He was toying with doing it from his knees, but...
Well, who hasn't toyed with doing it from their knees, right?
Yeah. Well, we know you have.
And we've all been there. Don't judge.
So, yeah.
Don't judge.
Good times. Justin Rose, your leader, by 1 over Bryson DeChambeau and 2 over Rory McIlroy and Corey Connors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the new NFL season, this is Warren Sharp who was talking about this. Do you know Warren Sharp? He's of Sharp Football.
Yeah, he does a nice job.
I think he's got a nice mustache, too.
He's one of the better analytic guys out there.
He's not too blowhard and very dialed in. I like Warren Sharp.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a smart guy, right? Isn't he kind of like an
analytics guy? He's a sharp
guy. Yeah. And he's a better, and he does all the things.
Yes.
He tossed this out there. He's like, who says no to this? In the NFL, the new NFL season, you'd have 18 games... And you'd play those 18 games over 20 weeks. Mm-hmm. You'd have 2 byes, and there would only be 2 preseason games. Week 1 is Labor Day weekend, which I absolutely love the idea of that, because right now it's not Labor Day. It's usually the next, maybe even 2 weeks after that. Labor Day weekend, first weekend in NFL, perfect. Super Bowl is President's Day weekend. That gives us a national holiday on the day after the Super Bowl, February 17th, this last year is February 17th.
Yeah.
Who says no to that?
Because that's what everyone's been wanting. No one wants to get all best on Super Bowl Sunday and then have to get up to work on Monday.
It all makes sense. 18 games, you get 2 byes, 20 weeks. It all adds up to where you can start on Labor Day weekend, you can finish on President's Day weekend, and we can all have the next day off.
It's perfect. Put a bow on it.
It's absolutely perfect.
There is one problem with that is, once again, you're asking NFL players to play more games for no more money.
Yeah, but don't you think they'll eventually...
No.
They'll get there. They'll get to 18 games.
Maybe. But, I mean, 17's already pushing it. Do you realize that the NFL season already takes years off your body? And for a league that is constantly trying to tell you that they care about player safety, and then they keep asking them to play more and more games, there is a point where it's a breaking point, and a lot of people thought 17 games was that. Now you're asking them to play one more, and again, the NFL owners aren't offering them an extra game check. You're saying you're playing the same, you're paying you the same money, and we want you to play another game.
Well, it would all have to be collectively bargained.
Yes, it would all have to be collectively
and
bargained.
And sure, I'm sure the players, and they've already have kind of dug in on it, but at the same time, I mean, all that's true, but if the NFL wants it, I mean, it's going to be a battle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what, look, do you get there eventually? Maybe. But I do know that at the last NFL meetings they had, the owners' meetings, which was just a few weeks ago, Goodell did say that no meaningful discussion whatsoever has happened with an 18-game schedule.
I think he said that because the players are balking at it, like you said.
Yeah.
And he's trying to tone down the... he's trying to stamp out that fire.
Well, again, anytime someone came to you, I'm trying to think how... This is the equivalent of if our boss came to us and said, hey, guys, we got a great idea. The fans love the show. Love what you guys are doing on primetime, so I got an idea for you. Instead of going 3-7, we go 3-8. And, guys, here's the real good part. We don't give you anything extra. We just take your existing salary and you work more.
You do realize they do that around here quite often. They haven't done it with us yet.
No.
But that does happen, and it happens all the time in corporate America.
You may push back a little bit on that, and I think that's what the NFL players are doing.
Well,
but yes,
of course they're going to push back, but I just think that in the end, especially if they're, you know, it has to be collectively bargained. So
should I have collectively bargained before this whole YouTube thing started? Did they make me bite off more than I could chew?
I think you should have, because I have news for you. This new boss who's coming in here,
it's going to be high on their priority list.
You're now producing middays as well.
Oh, nice.
You think you're getting more money for that? Yeah, no.
No.
But look, the players, they're going to push back, and they should. Yeah. I get that. But one, I just think the league's very powerful.
Yeah.
But two, if it has to be negotiated, they will negotiate to a place where the players say this makes sense.
Sure.
And we're going to get 18 games.
I think eventually, but I think it's a ways down the road.
And if you do get it, that schedule is perfection.
Yeah, I will say that is nice. The extra bye week, starting again, Labor Day, the Super Bowl being there every year would be amazing.
The right same weekend?
On the holiday weekend.
And you can plan it.
It would be phenomenal.
And Labor Day, week one, Labor Day, I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense. It does make a lot of sense if you can get it by. But I honestly don't need 18 games. Like, I think the regular season borderline already at 17 is already pushing it. Because, again, you get to the end of the year. And I even said this about the playoff game, right? Getting an extra team in.
Playoffs?
Do we really need another 9-8 team? Do we now, and so at that point, we're going to get to some 9-9 teams?
That is 7-9.
And the scary thing, guys, we may get to the point where we're getting 8-10 teams into the postseason. And
it's all about money.
At some point, it does become watered down. And I do think you're right on the edge right now of having some of that be watered down. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers were the definition last year of meh. And they find a way to get in. I mean, you got division winners winning at 10-7, and now we're adding another one to that. So just be careful that more isn't always better.
I get that, but I think with the NFL, it kind of is, because people still watch those games, and you know,
were you really clamoring for the Seattle Seahawks last year to get in the postseason? That team?
Well, no, but if they get there, I'm watching. Watch. I'm in, dude. I love
the
NFL.
About that action, boss.
And that's the popularity of that league.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just, it's all about money.
But I am with you. That schedule, at face value, take all the problems out of it. Just that schedule itself, I'm with you. That's a wonderful thing. We eliminate a week of the preseason, which no one gives two rips about anyways. Started a little bit sooner there, so we get the Labor Day thing. And then the piece de resistance is the Super Bowl. Being on that holiday week.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
The SEC has a quarterback who wants to renegotiate his NIL.
Shouldn't he be good before he does that?
That next on The Fan. He was cracking a joke. Oh, a radio joke there.
Buckley. I'm going to leave. Buckley the radio professional in there.
A radio joke.
Yeah. Buckley actually says his name pretty well, though.
I'm going to leave. Well, he's the quarterback.
Yeah. Or he was.
He had the richest NIL deal in college football in 2023. Last year, he led his team to the playoff. Playoff!
Did he?
Playoffs! Playoffs!
They were in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'd make the argument that their defense and their run game led them to the playoff, but okay.
Well, he is now not showing up for spring ball because he wants to renegotiate his NIL. Now, to be fair, his father has disputed this report, but why is he not at spring practice?
Yes.
He's their quarterback.
Yes. And there's a lot of he said, she said going on, so we'll see what happens. But that was the report, is that he wants $4 million. So he signed a deal going to Tennessee out of high school that was going to pay him roughly $8 million, about 2.4, 2.5 per year that he was there at Tennessee. So he played, he redshirted, then played as a freshman, whatever, 2.4, 2.5 million. I thought he was quite poor last year, but the team had success. They went to the playoff, got drilled by Ohio State. I thought he was very Drew Aller-esque for Tennessee. He only put up good numbers against terrible teams. Anytime they played a good opponent, I thought he was the definition of mid, if not bad. Well, supposedly he wants $4 million, and Tennessee has dug in and is like, no, dude, we're not giving you more money, and now he's not at spring practice. That's the story that's out there. We'll see what this turns out to be. If this is a case of our first holdout, we've officially jumped the shark for NIL to where we're now getting guys that are signing $8 million deals and then saying, no, it's not good enough. It's time to renegotiate. Because, look, I'm all for players getting paid, and I think it's horse crap when you've seen a lot of these NILs, and we've seen it with offering kids something, and they get to campus, and they're not delivering on it. But you signed an $8 million deal, 2.5 years to go there. They have delivered on it, and then you decide that's not enough, and you're holding out? My God. I hope Tennessee, if this is the case, I hope Tennessee tells them to go take an effing hike.
Well, they're kind of in a tough spot because they like him. And they need him because so the spring transfer window opens April 16th.
Yeah.
He could leave.
Yeah.
And you know, there are other schools that'd be like, oh, come on over here. And if he leaves, what the hell are they going to do?
I don't know what Tennessee's depth is, but I mean, this is like Carson Beck wanting more money from Georgia and then being like, all right, cool, man, go.
But the system is chaos as is. Players leave after the end of the season, and now if you don't get the NIL bag you want between that point and the end of spring ball, you do it again?
But you got the bag already. You signed at the time.
Right, if you just don't like what the bag is, 4 months later you move. Like, it's crazy.
Buck said it in my ear during the break. He goes, this is a guy that, he's a dog that has a really nice bone, and a dog got a bigger one. 1 year after the fact, and here's my thing, dude.
Wait. He saw a dog with a bigger one.
Yeah.
And who's he talking about? Who gets a bigger?
Other quarterbacks who have gotten a bigger NIL.
Well, who?
Well, Carson Beck supposedly got more than that to go to Miami.
They also mentioned, who's the kid? I'll find the name. In the article I read about this, they mentioned another quarterback transfer who just got more than that, and he's like, oh, well, I'm better than that guy.
But I would like to point out, much like I did Drew Aller, in the three losses that Tennessee had, he threw for... would you care to guess how many touchdowns in the three losses combined?
29.
Zero. And he threw for 158 yards, 167 yards, and 104 yards, including the loss at Arkansas, when on the last play of the game, instead of throwing the ball into the end zone, which would have won them the game, he ran out of bounds.
By the way, the dog with the bigger bone was Darian Mensa. He was the Tulane quarterback that got signed by Duke for $8
million.
God. Like, I watched Tennessee play. He is not
worth $8 million bucks.
Well, he's not worth $2.5 million bucks.
No, I think they're buying futures. Like, I watched him enough. You can see why they like him.
He's got tools. Sure.
Yes, you can see the flashes. It's just he was a freshman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like we say in basketball all the time. These guys are young.
Yep.
They think he's going to be good, and they're going to pay him as such.
They did.
Right. But he thinks he's going to be...
Yeah.
Good, and he's looking at that going, well, if you want to keep me, this is now the price. You know, it's like, it's just Thunderdome. It's like, this is why we need regulation.
Yeah.
I see his point. If you've got leverage, go get more.
Yeah. Well,
and he feels like he has leverage over Tennessee. He may not. He may be forced out. They may think how you think and be like, well, whatever, dude, we gave you plenty.
But we were so quick to do right by the kids that we missed the step where we put in any guardrails, and now it is Thunderdome.
Exactly.
And we can't, the toothpaste doesn't go back in the tube.
He can do this. I mean, he can, you know, and if he doesn't stay at Tennessee, it doesn't get what he wants, he is going to get a bunch of money somewhere else.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I would love to see Tennessee be like, be my guest, man. Like, this idea that $2.5 million for the definition of a middling season from a quarterback where you averaged 164 yards and 60% completion percentage and didn't win a lot of big games and quite frankly looked terrible in your big ones, that you have the balls to come back and say that you now want $4 million a year. And if the stories are, again, all reports, but the stories are that Tennessee is dug in and is like, not happening. I would love to see this clown go somewhere else and fall square on his ass. You get what you can get, but you got to be real careful. And this is why I've said all along, I'm glad players are getting paid. The system was so tilted against them. But this sort of stuff, this is buyer beware. Because there is a lot of money being paid to players right now that aren't very good. I'm willing to guess that the Bet kid down at Florida or at Miami, dude, be prepared because he ain't that good.
No,
you know, Quinn Ewers last year. Now Quinn Ewers ended up again. It's the same thing. Like Texas ended up being a nice team and going on to the college football playoff. They paid Quinn Ewers a lot of money to be a decent quarterback that got benched. So I just think we're at this point now where some of these teams are good. They're elevating their quarterback. Their quarterback isn't elevating them. And I think right now, at least at this point, maybe 2 years down the road, Nico changes that. He did not elevate Tennessee. Tennessee elevated him.
So you're saying the best way forward then, if you're a Tennessee or whomever, is don't swim in this pool. You don't have to pay these kids because they have their hand out, which says something about them anyway. But also they're so young and raw that they're not even going to be that good until you get to until they get to their third year.
Yes.
Probably, right? Maybe second year. But
I have said this all along.
So why not just bring in a younger guy?
I would do the Oregon Duck thing. If I was a big time college college program.
They've had two straight transfers though.
That's what
you're saying.
This is what I'm saying.
Go get a
guy. I would not play in this freshman BS pool. If this is what we're dealing with, where I've got freshman quarterbacks saying, I need $3 million to show up on campus and to not play, by the way, to redshirt. And then if I do play and we have any sort of team success, whether or not it's based on me or not, now we got to come back to the bargaining table. Now I got to pay you $4-4.5 million. Nuts to that. We talked about this. When you look at the quarterbacks that were in last year's college football playoff, the vast majority of them were transfer quarterbacks. So if that's the going rate for high school and freshman quarterbacks, keep them. Don't need them. I'll go get a 3-star kid or a 4-star kid that I can pay $600,000 to, $700,000 to, that is going to come in, sit for a couple years, and maybe he grows and develops into something, like with Austin Novad at Oregon. Go get that kid.
Novosad.
Pay that kid his $500,000, and then he'll get his revenue share as well. So you're paying that kid $750,000. And he just sits there and I get to just let that kid grow and develop. And maybe in 3 years, that kid pops. And then I'm going into the transfer portal and I'm going to go find me a guy that's already a 2 or a 3 year player that I know what I'm getting. And then if I have to write a check for $4 million, I'm writing it for the kid that I know can actually play and has proven it. Or I'm getting a much better bargain for a player like Bo Nix or Dylan Gabriel. I'm getting that kid for $1.5 million.
Yeah, no, I like that plan a lot better.
I just think the freshman spending free on these quarterbacks, dude, this is ass backwards.
But that's where Tennessee takes some of the blame too.
Yeah.
It's like you chose to pay him.
Yeah.
You thought it wise to give him the biggest NIL deal in the country when he hadn't played a down.
Yeah.
So some of that's on you.
Yeah.
And then he comes in, he gets you to the playoff.
And
he is
more.
Your starting quarterback, and of course he's going to want more. This was bound to happen.
Yeah.
So it's just like some of it's on Tennessee for this is what you get when you do that.
We have to find a way, and the NCAA is fighting this tooth and nail because they don't want to consider these kids employees. We just have to find a way to sign contracts. You just do. Yeah. And whether it's 1 year, and I guess if they are going to be year-to-year contracts, then you know, we're going to have to deal with this every year anyways.
Well, what the big complaint is, or at least on the player side, has been, well, coaches sign contracts and they leave anyways.
Yeah.
So why can't we do that?
Well, you could, but there's buyouts involved.
Yeah, that's all negotiated.
It's all negotiated. It's in the buyout. So, hey, man, you want to go somewhere else? Cool. You know, give us $1 million of your 2.5 that we gave you. And
yeah, see how your next school feels about paying us to take you away.
And good luck doing something else. I guess we've officially reached in theory, we've reached the first holdout for more money in the world of college football. And I just find it interesting that it's a player that isn't, or wasn't, I can't say isn't going to be, wasn't very good last year. And if you look around at a lot of these big NIL quarterbacks, I think it's fair to look and be like, what are we paying for versus what you're getting from the next guy up?
Well, the other huge story of this a couple of years back with the big NIL splash was that Jaden Rashada kid who was supposed to get $8 million at Florida, and then he showed up and they didn't have the money, and then he pulled back, and then they said, we're actually not going to give it to you, and he went to Arizona State and he backed up there, and now he's at Georgia backing up there.
What do you think that the Ducks have paid for Gabriel Nix and more?
So what I've heard, and again, some people try to keep this kind of close to their vest, but what I've heard is that for like Dylan Gabriel, it was somewhere around $1 million to $1.5 million.
Which is a great deal.
Which is a great deal. And that Dylan Moore, probably after UCLA, was probably somewhere in Dante the $600,000 or $700,000 range.
Yeah.
Dante Moore. Yeah. Why did Dylan? Was probably somewhere in that, you know, $700,000 range.
And Nix?
I think Nix probably was maybe a little bit cheaper than that, but probably again than Dylan Gabriel. But again, you're probably, for a transfer quarterback, you're probably in the market around $1 million.
So that's a way better route.
Yes.
A couple million for those two guys, Nix and seasoned Bo Nix.
It's a known quantity. You've seen him play college ball.
Yeah.
Will Howard, who just won a national championship, Will Howard was about $1 million to $1.5 million.
That's a good route.
You know,
who's that guy this year? Is it that guy from Tulane?
Well, that was the thing, is I feel like this year compared to years past, there weren't as many of them, yeah, at least quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, there weren't as many serviceable, oh yeah, that guy has an extra year left and now he's going to move. I mean, we saw some of them, that Malik Murphy kid came over to Oregon State, and then that Darian Mensa kid too, but there was not a lot.
And Will Howard delivered, okay? Will Howard was a great purchase for Ohio State. Absolutely.
Would we be saying that if he didn't win a title?
Well, maybe not, but I mean, he was really good for them. And he wasn't the reason why they won a title, but he certainly helped them. But again, Riley Leonard cost Notre Dame a bunch of money. And I know that Notre Dame got to the doorstep, right? But I asked the question, how much of that was right? Riley Leonard was that their offense was quite bad. It was a run game and a defense. Could I have plugged in 9 different quarterbacks and had that same success with Notre Dame? And so I'm not saying that Riley Leonard wasn't worth the money, because look at where they went. But if Riley Leonard, let's say he was coming back to Notre Dame this year, right? Let's say he had another year and Riley Leonard said, you were paying me $1.5 million last year. Let's say 2 million even. No, I want 4, 4.5. If I'm Notre Dame, I look at him and be like, dude, I can find, dude, there's 4 of you out there.
And I can do more for my roster spreading that around with other people.
You aren't that good. I just think we're over our skis with some of these quarterbacks. Hey, if there's a Pat Mahomes out there, if there's a Josh Allen, if there's a Lamar Jackson, if there's one of those college guys, we are like, holy hell, right? That dude is a force. Cam Newton at Auburn. Cam Newton wants $4 million a year.
Sure.
Where do I write the check? Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, Marcus Mariota, where do I write the check? Nico and Riley Leonard and these guys, you are not. Drew Aller at Penn State, you guys are not.
By the way, the top guys this year, John Mateer out of Washington State, Carson Beck, who we've talked about, Malik Murphy, Connor Wegman from Texas A&M, Miller Moss, Darian Mensa, Jackson Arnold, Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
Mateer went to Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Who else was on that list?
Carson Beck, who went to Miami, Malik Murphy, who went to Oregon State, Connor Wegman. I'm trying to remember where he ended up. He was with Texas A&M. I don't know where he landed.
He sucked when he played for A&M.
Yeah, he did. Miller Moss. I don't remember where he ended up.
He got benched Louisville. In USC.
That's right.
He went to Louisville.
Darian Mensa, who we said went from Tulane to Duke. Jackson Arnold, who, where did he go?
Yeah, where'd he go?
Because he left Oklahoma.
Sounds like Mateer got about $3 million to go to Oklahoma.
I don't remember where Jackson
Arnold's at Auburn.
Okay. And then Fernando Mendoza, what did he go, NC State, I think?
Mendoza
or no, or Indiana. Indiana, because Indiana. That's right. He followed Cignetti.
Yeah, he's an interesting one.
Yeah. So again, I'd rather pay him $1 million than I would pay Nico four.
All right, that's enough of that. We've got In the News coming up next. He is coming back to Portland for one last show. Here's Buck.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Time now on our show for In the News. I'm your News Man.
Yes, you are. Thank you for yelling at us.
Please be seated. It is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National 8-Track Tape Day. How about that?
I had an 8-Track.
Remember the old 8-Tracks?
Yep.
Weren't those great?
When I was in high school, I went through a douchey retro phase where I got an 8-Track.
Buckley, you too young?
8-Tracks, yes. I was a cassette tape boy.
Yeah.
I mostly was too, but 8-Tracks were...
It was I caught the tail end of it, and then, like I said, like I found a bunch of my dad's old 8-Tracks, and then I bought an 8-Track player at a garage sale for like $5, and then I thought it was cool. Retro.
I'm not quite old enough to know how 8-Tracks fit with records.
Well, records came before 8-Tracks, and then 8-Tracks was the modern one. But 8-Tracks sucked, and so they didn't stick around, and records did.
Okay, well, there's the answer to that. All right. A brief history of 8-Tracks from Jason Skinnick.
8-Tracks were
I knew records were before 8-Tracks, but I just didn't know how popular 8-Tracks got compared to
I think 8-Tracks were the let's take a step up, and then we realized that it was crap. And we're like, well, records are better than this. But records, it was the first portable.
So it's like Blu-ray?
Yeah, but remember, like, when you had a record, you couldn't take a record anywhere. So an 8-Track was the first thing in your car and a portable thing that you could take your music with you. But then we quickly realized that it sucked, and then the tape came along and made the 8-Track irrelevant. Whereas records have always been a nice home option. So
I was listening to record the other day.
Yeah. It's coming back. All my kids are into them. Plus, there's something great about, like, I remember when I was a kid and you bought a record, like, the art and then all the, it would come with, like, little booklets and, like, the liner notes, and I used to love that.
Yeah. It is also National Dive Bar Day.
Oh, there you go.
You love a good dive bar.
I do. Shout out Jerry's. That's my one. But there's so many good ones. Slow Bar, The Slammer, Cat's Paw, Clinton Street. I spent too much time in bars. I love them. There is... Reel them in. I could go on and on. There is something just, I don't know. It's when you walk into a good dive bar and you're a dive bar sort of guy, you will feel home. You don't have to know a single person in there. And within 10 minutes, you've got 3 friends. You're like, hey, Johnny, you want a topper on that one? You and the bartender are sharing life experiences. It's just a wonderful.
I mean, it can be a little slice of Americana in any town USA.
Yes.
Like, you can find it anywhere.
Yes.
And it's great.
And same thing when you travel. Go find yourself a great Irish pub or a dive bar in another country. You'll feel at home.
Temperatures in the 70s beginning on Monday.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Look at that.
Oh, I've already had to... I've mowed the lawn twice already.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you now?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for that update.
2 times. That's when you know it's turning.
Well, yeah, it's April.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Well, he's coming to Portland one last time.
What do we got?
He's 81 years old. He will be here July 16th.
Oh, I think I saw this.
At Moda Center.
God.
I speak of the great and flamboyantly gay Barry Manilow.
Who my mom at one point threw her bra at Barry Manilow, which Not certain that Buhl was aware of it. That wasn't his cup of tea.
Although I don't think he's actually, I mean, I know he's gay. He's married to a like some TV exec guy, but
Barry Keefe.
Yeah, that's his husband.
Yeah. By the way, I think Barry could have done better.
But because I know he was originally married to a woman back in the day, but I just
that's
think
called
that
a beard.
I think Barry still won't like he doesn't he just doesn't say it. You know, he doesn't talk about it.
Oh.
You know, it's like
he's gay,
but he's
not
married
gay.
To. Well, no, I don't think he doesn't. He just doesn't.
He doesn't talk about his gayness.
He didn't come out or anything. He
I'm
just,
gay. I'm gay. I'm gay.
He just married a dude, much like you.
I ate ass.
Suk privately
wow.
married.
Wow.
God.
Jeez Louise.
Suk married a dude a couple years ago.
Yeah, it said that he finally came out. He made a statement in 2017 after a secret 40-year relationship with his manager, Gary Keefe, that was not secret.
So he did. Yeah, it wasn't. Everybody knew about it, yes. But he didn't advertise it.
It wasn't until 2017 where he talked about it in a People magazine interview.
So he did talk about it.
Finally.
Yeah. One of those worst-kept secrets in showbiz well, yeah. type deals.
Barry, it's okay. We knew.
Well, and like Jodie Foster did this. Jodie Foster at like an Oscar speech was like, yeah, it's like, there's my what? Partner. And everyone was like, yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah.
People know, but you don't, you know.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Just, you know.
It's 2015. We're okay with that. And yeah. Guess what, Barry? We knew.
What about the 60s, though, and the 70s?
That was probably a tougher time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he'll be here July 16th if you want to sing him, see him sing Mandy, which originally was going to be titled Brandy. Did you know that?
I did not.
Brandy.
Boy, I don't know if I would necessarily want to go see Barry Manilow. Would I go see Barry Manilow? Yeah, I'd go see Barry. If there were some tickets laying around the station,
I'd go.
I'd have a couple suds.
For
you know,
sure.
You know you're going to get three Why to four not? Songs that you're going to... And I'll bet you that show, even at however old he is, 81, and that he can't remember the station, he probably sings like this, does the Planet of the Apes. I'm guessing there's a backing track, right? I'm guessing he doesn't sing live much anymore. I'll bet you it's still pretty good.
You have his set list here. What do you think he closes with?
Well, it's got to be Cobra Cabana, right?
Because he just played, yeah, probably. He just played at Radio City Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, nope, never mind.
Well, I only know probably four or five Barry Manilow songs.
Yeah. He is playing at Radio City Music Hall. He closes with, he does not close with Cobra Cabana.
No.
It is in his encore.
Mm.
He finishes with It's a Miracle.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't know that song. But I write the songs that make the whole world sing.
Yeah.
Mandy. I made it through the rain. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
He's got hits galore.
What's the other one? But is it Bandstand? Bandstand Boogie?
Bandstand Boogie.
Yeah. I told you, my mom was into some Barry Manilow. that's adorable. My mom has thrown her bra at Barry Manilow, and I think she threw her underwear at Neil Diamond.
Hell yeah.
Boo was a free swinger back in the day.
I miss Neil.
Yeah. Wait.
No, he's not dead.
He's not dead. He has dementia, right?
I thought it was...
Does he have ALS?
Was it dementia?
He's got a bad
Maybe
case.
I thought it was Parkinson's, but...
I like that at this point...
I don't know.
We have given Neil Diamond every horrible disease that you can give someone.
Yeah, he has Parkinson's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Of the diseases that we did try to give him, dare I say Parkinson's the best of those diseases?
Of the ones we mentioned, yes. Yeah.
Because we were like dementia, Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's. Dude, you're taking
there
the
are no winners there.
He's 84.
I think there is a winner. I think it's Parkinson's. Buck, if you're running that race, trust me, you know who you want. You're not like, oh, whoever. No, you're wanting Parkinson's to win that race.
I don't know. I've seen grandparents with both Parkinson's and dementia and Alzheimer's, and they're all their own unique beasts.
And again, I'll tell you who I'm rooting for.
All right. So July 16th, Moda, Barry Manilow. Coming up next, what are the most beautiful spots in Oregon and Washington? This is In the News on The Fan. Yeah,
this,
why?
It's a fun little game that we play. Just
yeah, I know.
Just finish your set. If you have to go away for like 9 minutes and then get us to all like yell and scream, and I mean, maybe you got to take a leak or something. It's just, the idea of the encore is a bit outdated, but I get it.
What do they do? What do they go do?
I'm guessing take a whiz and maybe take a smoke.
Maybe a line or two.
Yeah, there you go.
Especially Barry. He needs the extra kick.
Like, I wonder, though, can he sing? His face is pulled so tight. I'm not certain he can move his lips. It's like Michael Jackson at the end.
Well, I think that's one reason to go to the show, see if we can
find out. Oh, I'm interested to see if he sings live. Or if there's just, you know.
I bet he does.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's a serious backing track.
Travel and Leisure recently released a list of the most beautiful places in the United States of America. And there were two national parks in the Pacific Northwest that made the cut.
Look at us.
This was published in March. It includes locations in every state, from stunning desert scenery to gorgeous beaches. And according to Travel and Leisure, the most beautiful place in Oregon is...
Crater Lake.
Indeed, it is Crater Lake, Oregon.
When in doubt...
You can't go wrong with
Yeah, we were talking about not outthinking the room. It's Crater Lake.
Now, it's entirely possible you talked about this when I was out on Wednesday, but did you discuss that they're going to do like a renovation on the only entry point to Crater Lake, and so it's essentially going to be off limits to people for years?
No.
Yeah, there's one main authorized place in to go to the actual lake, and they're redoing that, and it's going to be closed for a period of time.
Oh, you mean down to the lake?
Yes, like, down to the lake.
You
itself.
Can still go.
You can still go up and see it. Yeah.
So you will not be able to go on the lake for a period of years?
I believe that's correct. I will see if I can find the story.
That won't stop people.
They'll find a way. People always do.
And the spot in Washington that made the list is Hurricane Ridge, which is in the Olympic National Park. Have you ever been to Hurricane Ridge?
I've been to Olympic National Park. I was there like 2 years ago, but I don't remember something called Hurricane Ridge.
It looks gorgeous, I must say.
What is...
I don't know. It's just a ridge that has a bunch of hurricanes rolling through it.
Yeah, it just says it's a mountainous area in Washington's Olympic National Park. So
it's 17 miles south of Port Angeles, on Hurricane Ridge Road.
So it's possible that I have been to Hurricane Ridge because I've...
It's just views.
Yeah.
It's just pretty.
Then it's possible I've been there. Olympic National Park is wonderful. We did some outland camping out there, and it's an amazing area. That's a nice part of Washington, by the way, if you ever make it up to that.
Yeah, it's pretty up there.
A little venture.
I'd like to turn it over now to news contributor Ryan Buckley.
Access to Oregon's Crater Lake to be closed from 2026 to 2029, says the National Park Services.
Oh, wow. What are they doing?
Says, here's what's happening. The park will close the Cleetwood Cove Trail for repairs and improvements. It's not expected to reopen until summer of 2029. They're going to be doing dock improvements and trail improvements.
So there's no way to get down there.
That's what this sounds like.
I've only been to Crater Lake once.
It's been a long time.
But
Rehabilitation of the entire 1.1-mile trail, rock fall scaling and mitigation along identified high-risk zones, removal and replacement of failed bulkhead dock, and replacing the outdated and undersized composting toilets near the marina.
Whoa. I was always under the impression that you couldn't go down on the water. There's never any boats on it. Like, you can't go on it.
Apparently, you can't.
I guess there's one access point.
There's a dock down there?
I guess.
Well,
I don't know.
How do you get a...
Well, some bro's going to get down there. You know it. You know some bro's not going to let this stop him.
Oh, I saw that when I was there.
Yeah.
People climbing over the...
Yeah, they find ways. Dude, the bro will always find a way. Always. Have faith.
Right.
That being said, I have been to Crater Lake in the past 3 years. Don't plan on going in the next 3 years, so I think I'll be fine.
It's cool to fly over it.
Yeah.
If you've ever flown over it on a clear day, it's nice.
It's just a long way out there.
Real, real nice.
It, Clark, it's really
real
nice.
Real nice.
Really nice. Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's one of those things that
there's nothing else out there, so you have to go there to see it only.
And it's a five-hour drive.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. I'd rather go to Bandon.
Exactly. If I'm driving 5 hours, one, I get to stare at something that's really cool for like 2 minutes, or I get to go play golf at Bandon. Taking Bandon.
In the News is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. We'll get you caught up on the Masters. We've got a veteran quarterback with a new team, and I think the Blazers might even be playing tonight.
You
can call them that. I think the Baby Blazers are playing.
This isn't even the baby like the Blazers. G League team. This is like the infant Blazers.
We will get to all of that next on The Fan.